Hello. Before diving into today's episode, I've got some exciting news. People have been asking how they can support the podcast, and we have a new membership site now. So for just $10 a month, that's around £7.80 in the UK, you'll not only keep our show going strong, but you'll also enjoy some exclusive perks. You'll get access to an arty podcast episode each month. Also, you'll get a 15% discount on our merchandise. I also created an exclusive book for the membership site, and it's full of inspiring quotes and creativity. You'll gain access to 4 copyright-free exclusive artworks. And finally on the site, I share some of my favourite hand-picked arty links. So to support the show and unlock these perks, you just head over to modernartistrubbish.com and you'll find the link where you can join us on this creative journey. And your support really does mean a lot and will truly make a difference. So thanks, and it's on with the show.
Modern art is rubbish.
Modern art is rubbish. Rubbish podcast.
Right, brilliant. Tom.
Marcus.
Yes, get energy up because my neighbours are kicking off with their bass. I've got dub now.
Modular is rubbish!
Oh my God, it couldn't handle yes. That. My God, it couldn't handle the volume that it actually cut you out. So it might cut out on the podcast because your energy was too high for the Zoom recording. Can you believe it?
Okay. Modern art is rubbish.
Yes. Just in case. It really is Zoom because we're using Zoom program to record this. And I think we're not sponsored by Zoom. It sounds like we're sponsored by them. They don't need sponsorship. They're blooming rich. So, Tom, on with the show. We've got a few things. Got a thing to do with a guy. We like destroying art, so we've got a little discussion about an artist who wants to possibly destroy some artwork.
Excellent.
And also, I think we like a bit of a Beatles on this show. We never hardly ever talk about the Beatles. I don't know why I mentioned the Beatles.
I'm on the show and I love the Beatles.
I love the Beatles as well. Beatles painting. Yeah. So we're going to be discussing that towards near the end. I don't know if it's almost the end, but not quite. And also, so to start off, I've been out and about, Tom. I went out in Brighton to go and see an artist performance. Very interesting. Right. Yeah, it was good. I don't know if you remember from our master's show. There was an artist called Shirley Archibald who did work about witches and feminism. It's very, very interesting. I'll put a link up, obviously, as I say all the time, I'll put a link up on the show notes.
Yeah.
And also another artist called Liz Schwartz, who works with, you know, stuff that you find on the street, you know, earth and dirt. And, basically, they're doing a collaborative 6-week residency at a place called Phoenix in Brighton, and they're trying to almost create a third art because they're quite different artists in their practice, and so they're working together to do different kind of art.
So we've got Shirley Archibald with the witches and stuff, and then another artist with
I don't know. I didn't actually ask if she would be prepared to work with poo poo. Other poos are available. I don't know why I felt the need to do that. But anyway, yes, Liz Schwartz, she goes on the name Schwartz. She works with stuff that she finds on the street. So it could be stuff that's been disregarded, you know, could be an old can, in this piece, I think there was things like an old shovel. An old, you know, just stuff you find.
An old man on a bench.
She didn't use an old man on a bench, but I suppose if someone's just left an old man on a bench, you might pick him up and get him to do some performance.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
As long as it's discarded rubbish.
Yeah, well, I'm sure she wouldn't regard an old man on a bench as discarded rubbish. So, basically, they've been doing lots of, like, painting performances and assemblage, like just putting stuff together. And they, what I found really interesting about is they did a piece of performance art. And it was almost like a ritual. But the thing I found interesting was that it started off, I was looking at the audience as well, because I'm always interested to see audience reaction when someone's doing performance art. And a lot of people were looking serious, like quite serious at it. And they were doing like these strange rituals. It was a bit like like Gilbert and George. They kind of had a feel of Gilbert and George, but, you know, or Laurel and Hardy even at the start. It was almost like kind of comical, and everyone was taking it very seriously, and I found it quite amusing. I actually thought there was a bit where it kind of like raised a sort of smile and chuckle, which I quite like, because art doesn't always have to be completely serious. That's the thing. I think sometimes when we go to our art galleries, sometimes we take art too seriously, and life isn't, you know, life reflects art as well.
And art reflects life. So yeah. Isn't it just people take life too seriously rather than blaming it on the art?
Oh, yeah, I got that the wrong way around. I sounded really profound, and it was actually nonsense. I meant it the other way around. So they started off like this, but then suddenly it kind of switched to like these kind of like primal discoveries. I don't want to say it's a little bit like 2001. You know that scene where the ape finds the bone, picks up the bone, and he decides it can be a tool. And it's kind of like then you get the big intro of the soundtrack. It felt a bit like that. So it went from being kind of funny or irreverent to sort of like kind of quite profound. And I really like that. I really like this. The juxtaposition of it, these two things. And I thought, I like that. It reflected life. So they're doing this as a 6-week residency, and I just wanted to give them a shout out. I'll put the links in the website. So
you know, when people on our like phones and that, and they go, oh, you can get the links here, and they point to like imaginary link on the screen. Can we start doing that?
We can, but they won't be there. <They'll> be in, if this there. Ever goes on YouTube, it'll be down there.
Down there.
Yeah, down. I'm pointing to my knee for reference. So it's really interesting to see what they'll do. So the artist is Shirley Archibald and Liz Schwartz, who goes under the name of Schwartz, and they're both very interesting artists. So check him out.
She goes on, so she doesn't include Liz in her like artist title.
I was speaking about that. It's quite interesting because the name Schwartz, you think is probably a man doing it, and it's not.
Why do you think Schwartz is a man?
I don't know. I just did. When you see the name Schwartz, you think it's like a kind of like a different, it has a luxury design brand about it name as well. But that's like crystal. There's a Schwartz crystal, I think, as well, isn't there? And yeah, Schwartz isn't also a, isn't it hair care?
Hair care, yeah. Schwartzkopf. German, isn't it?
Yeah, is that for blackhead? Is that blackhead?
Yeah, it does mean black in German, doesn't it, Schwartz? Yeah,
blackhead.
Yeah, blackhead.
Like, I don't need shampoo, but would you wash your hair with blackhead? Like a spot. That's like a spot, isn't it? Blackhead is a...
Yeah, it's lost in translation, I think. Yeah, I think like German language, it translates as wonderful hair shampoo.
Yeah.
But to us, it's like spot.
And what a surprise. We've gone off at a tangent again. I love tangents. Although, yeah, I actually quite liked algebra at school. Did you like algebra?
Algebra. Who is algebra?
Yeah.
Is that an artist?
Sounds like it should be a name. Should be a artist name. We could talk algebra. About it from all different angles. Oh, yeah, that's really bad. I had a friend who made a maths joke, right? And he was like the brainiest kid at school. He was the kid when someone said to him to do lines, he went home and did a computer program. We're going back a long time. And he wrote a computer program to just print off the lines and then took it to school. But he made a maths joke and all these people were laughing. And he was like, it's like something like X to the power of Z, some cosine, da da da. And everyone was going, ha ha ha. And someone was putting in X to the power of A. And I looked and there was all these laughing emojis and I had not a clue what the joke was about.
This wasn't on Reddit, was it?
No, it was on Facebook. It was my friend.
Facebook, yeah.
Yeah. It was a friend, school friend. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
There you go. So there are some beautiful looking formulas out there, but I didn't understand that formula. It was
an in joke.
It was. It was an in maths joke. It was just too. It was like. That's the sound of it going over my head, by the way, if people aren't watching this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the sound of it? Like, whoosh.
Whoosh. Yeah, when I don't get something, I go whoosh. Whoosh.
Yeah, whoosh.
Oh, mind you, that's like you when you've just washed your hair. Whoosh. No. It's
not. Yeah, Schwarzkopf.
We're not sponsored by them, by the way, either. Neither Zoom, just to add. That's the theme for the show, it seems to be. So, on to the next, the big thing for the show, what we're talking about, is an artist called Andrei Molodkin, or Andrei Molodkin. He's a Russian dissident, so he's run away from Putin's Russia. He used to be a soldier, and he's not a fan of Putin anymore, so he's left. And he's creating an artwork called Dead Man's Switch. And what it is he's bought a massive bank vault in Switzerland and he's going to fill it up with artworks by people such as like Picasso, Warhol, and people have donated them. And what's going to happen to them is that if Julian Assange, the journalist, if he's not released, if he dies in prison, then he's going to destroy all the works.
Yeah.
And so Julian Assange famously was the guy who was the founder, co-founder of the website WikiLeaks. And he's been held in a British prison for about the last 5 years.
Belmarsh.
And basically, it seems to be on the crime of being a journalist, which is a bit worrying. Some people say, for the record, some people say he's not a journalist. So,
other people say, most people seem to want him free, but certain people who are powerful want him dead.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's only like a fraction of 1% who want him dead. Everyone else wants him alive.
I mean, Australia actually just said, just give him back. It's just a bit of a, it seems to be a bit of a show trial, a bit of a buddy loving with the UK.
I'd say he could come here, but we haven't got a spare room.
No, and you'd have to break him out of Belmarsh, which is not rubbish policy. But it's interesting because you say that
he has got married since he's been in prison, hasn't he?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Well, do they have I don't talk about conjugal visits.
But conjugal visits.
Yeah, I don't know. I've not been in prison, and I've not wanted to.
Yeah.
Have sex with my non-existent wife in prison either. So, right.
Yeah, yeah. Carry on Belmarsh.
Yeah, carry on Belmarsh. So I haven't seen that carry on film. It's a bit serious, I bet. So it's interesting you say that because the artist actually said that his project is a collaborative artwork that aims to spark a discussion over why destroying art is a huge taboo, but destroying of the life of people is not. And, you know, it's interesting. It is certainly a point. It's a bit sad, though, because if Julian Assange dies, not only will Julian Assange die, we'll be sad about that. We'll probably be sad about the artworks being destroyed as well.
Yeah, we'd be less sad about the artworks, probably, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. I was thinking I'd be less sad about that.
Well, no, truthfully, because I don't know Julian Assange. That's the question. There's a debate in my head. Would I? It's true, isn't it? Would I get more outraged? I mean, you hear people on the news dying all the time, but then when Just Stop Oil went in and threw a tin of beans against the glass, not against the actual painting, everyone went, oh my God, that's terrible. So
yeah,
it's kind of proving a point. But what's happened is the people have actually donated. There's a lot of curators, sort of like collectors and artists that have actually already donated stuff. And apparently there's a mechanism. It's like acid. It's not like acid. It is an acid, some kind of acid stuff. That what happens is that if he doesn't press the button every single day, or someone doesn't press the button to confirm that Julian Assange is still alive, then the acid will be released and it will just turn all the paintings to mush within a few hours.
Wow.
But you know what's really interesting as well is we don't know the exact names of the paintings. He said, like, it's a Picasso, it's a such and such, it's a such and such. And apparently the reason why he hasn't given, the names aren't available, is to stop any last minute appeals. Because it could be some people that go, oh, no, don't destroy my Picasso, I've changed my mind. But because they've not got the names of the actual works, it's going to be harder to litigate. So the process of litigation will take so long because they don't have to name the specific artwork. It might be too late for them to stop it.
Yeah.
So that's another theory. So it's a pretty destructive piece. I mean, again, there have been other artists that have destroyed artworks previously, which we talked about. But yeah, but it's be interesting. I hope it never happens, and I hope they get their artworks back.
Yeah. So, the other destructions though have been about a point of destruction. This is kind of making a political point about something else by connecting. Julian Assange's heart or whatever it is it connected to.
Well, it's not connected. Apparently, it has to be someone who knows him very well, has to phone up, has to let them know every day.
Yeah.
His wife's aware. I think she's aware of the piece and everything. So it's not like... So if someone forgets...
Yeah.
That could be a bit of a thing, but it's interesting as a concept.
Oh, you don't want to forget, because then everyone will be like, oh, might as well just kill him now anyway.
Oh no, because the oh my god. Oh, no. I hope it doesn't work like that. I sincerely hope not. That's really dark, but very amusing, Tom.
I apologize. I always bring the tone down.
Yeah. Officially not according to modern art is rubbish, but not according to me. Right. And Andre Milodkin, he's a very interesting artist. He once made a sort of an art piece made out of Ukrainian soldiers' blood, made a portrait of Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
And so he did that. Obviously, the soldiers donated it. He didn't just go and take their blood from dead soldiers. It was so that's one piece he's done. But the one I find more interesting personally is his work called The Dirtiest Cup, which was a 2022 piece done at the same time. That was the Qatar, wasn't it? The Qatar World Cup, wasn't it, around that time?
Yeah, the 2022 World Cup. That's right, yeah.
Now, what he made was a transparent acrylic resin replica of the World Cup trophy. That's that. What's it called? Is that the Jules? That's not the Jules Rimet. Is it the Jules Rimet? Because I always get mixed up with the one that was stolen in 1966. That's a different
one. Yeah, I know what it looks like. I don't know what it's called. Yeah.
It's the big one with the guy holding the World Cup, and it's kind of like a round base. And basically, this is transparent, and it's made of resin, and it fills up slowly with crude oil. And it actually has a symbolic price of £150 million. Pounds, and that figure actually matched the amount of money allegedly spent on bribes and kickbacks to FIFA officials, according to the US criminal investigators in 2015. It's also apparently an alternative to the World Cup to highlight the alleged corruption and human rights violations that have been a feature of the 2022 tournament. Also, I believe a few people, kind of migrant workers, died in the construction of
yeah,
the World
that's
Cup.
Right.
Venues.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
But I'm pretty certain that goes on quite a lot in a lot of yeah. countries, like stadiums where people die and stuff. And
yeah, I mean, you know, whatever's going on in Qatar is going on in Qatar, unrelated to football in the main, I imagine.
Well, yeah, and it is going on everywhere else as well, probably.
Yes.
Except not with oil, necessarily.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's done works with oil before, and I'll put a link on the website to his name. So he's an interesting artist, because we do like our dissident artists. Pavlensky being the other Russian artist.
Yeah, Rush. What is it with these Russians and, like, high, you know, lots of money and oil and... I don't know if it is just Russians. There must be other nations of people. They're kind of our, like, kind of our fun enemy, aren't they, Russia?
Oh, yeah.
They are a fun enemy for everyone. Everyone.
They seem to be over the... It seems to be, yeah, it's just like, let's just pick one at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, look, I don't want to downplay Ukraine, because there is a little thing going on, and I don't want to go down the politics road too much, but because yeah. I'm always more interested in the art that's coming out.
Yeah, they've always got brilliant artists, because we talk about the Russian artists a lot. What's that about? Like, they're a nation of great, like, protest artists.
They're a nation of great art. I mean, look, pretty much every nation produces beautiful art, but Russia has produced some really, and those areas, you know, the former Soviet states, they have produced some great art. But Russia, you know, Pussy Riot, obviously, Peter Pavlensky. I'd also like, there's a guy called Ilya Rapin, which is, he's like the Velasquez of Russia. He's we will do something on him, because he's a monster, a titan of painting, but he's from a long, long time ago, probably over 100 years and some.
And some.
Yeah, he does all like I'm doing a fist symbol, like that kind of like. Workers.
He's kind of a masculine type vibe.
What's that?
Is that a masculine type vibe?
It's a Marcus vibe. I don't know. I don't know what defines masculine, but it's a...
Was it a Kremlin?
It's like the workers. Vibe. It's power to the people kind of artist.
Oh, it's a power to the people vibe.
Yeah. He's a monument. He's a titan. And also, of course, you know, so there you go. We will do something about him at some point.
But yeah. So has anyone ever put a dead soldier in an art gallery before?
No, and I hope they never do.
Really? That would be too much.
Too much for me. Too much. Yeah. I just want to give peace a chance.
Yeah.
that's official modern artist rubbish policy, because it's Yoko Ono's policy as well.
Yeah, she's got a special one, isn't she, Yoko, up in London?
Oh, has she? Oh, yes, of course she has.
Yeah.
I did. I actually worked on one of the Yoko Ono exhibition before people realised that art was expensive in Colchester at the Minoru's Gallery, which is a tiny little gallery, and it was a Yoko Ono. And there's a little phone, and if it rings, it was Yoko Ono on the end. I think I probably mentioned this previously, actually.
Yeah, so...
Really good. Really.
Did
really
you hear about anyone answering the phone to Yoko?
No.
No.
No. Apparently, they've got a similar vibe in the ABBA museum. There's a phone, an ABBA ring. ABBA might ring, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an art piece, though. I just think that's just a happy accident that you're there at the same time.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, a short advertisement break.
Tom, I've got this great idea for an art piece, right? Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what I was doing? I filled a vault with my exclusive Creator's Echoes book, a recording of an exclusive free monthly podcast episode, and other modern artist rubbish links, and a mug and a t-shirt. And if a certain set of circumstances should happen, acid will pour over everything, ruining all of it.
You idiot, Marcus! Everybody knows all you have to do is head over to the Modern Art is Rubbish website and join up as a member to the show, and you can download or listen to those items whenever you want.
Yeah, but Tom, you can't download T-shirts or a mug.
Yes, but everybody knows as a show supporter, you get a 15% discount off every purchase forever.
Can you do the forever again? It did distorted.
Forever!
All right. Well, on to less controversial subjects, Tom.
Yeah.
The Beatles. Beatles. That was my little link. I did a link without even thinking. It's the Beatles from that. We were talking about the Beatles. There's been a big sale of a Beatles painting, and apparently it's the only major collaborative artwork that they did together.
Oh wow! That's like nice. What? Say what? All four of them, or like just some of them?
All four.
Basically. All four of the musician members that are well known.
Yeah, it's 1966, and they were locked up in a hotel room. They were getting threatened, I think, by some sumo wrestlers.
Yeah,
I didn't actually look too much into the actual whys and wherefores, but they were getting threats when they were in Japan, not from all the Japanese, but just from some kind of sect. I don't know what it was, but they were getting threats. Okay. So they had to stay in their hotel room. So they just go out, do the gig for the Japanese fans, and then just come back to the hotel room. And apparently they were really excited to work on their painting. And they would paint each of the four corners. So just to describe the paint, it's a really colourful, abstract work. And in each corner, one of the Beatles has done a corner. So four quadrants, and in the center there's a round disc, and they've signed it, and the piece is called Images of a Woman, and it sold at Christie's for £1.4 million. And the reason it's called Images of a Woman, if you look at the top right hand corner of the work, that's Paul McCartney's bit. I couldn't find out whose other bit, and apparently he thinks the part of the work he painted resembles female genitalia. So that's why it was called
Images. What, he thought that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does it? What's your feelings on that? What's your feelings on the whole thing?
Well, painting? I don't know about genitalia. Maybe like, you know, internal organs of that region, like ovaries or something.
Oh, so... Well, I suppose it still could be images of a woman, couldn't it? So what do you think of the painting overall? I actually quite like it. As a collaborative effort, I will say I think maybe that that Shirley and Schwartz, Shirley Archibald Schwartz, the artist, made a better collaborative effort than this. But I do like it.
Yeah, but their albums were good, weren't they? The Beatles albums.
Yeah, I think their collaborative albums are better than their paintings.
Yeah.
And I think the best bit is Paul McCartney's bit, because I like Paul McCartney's paintings. I think he's actually one of the rare musicians that actually decides to paint and is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, not rare.
He seems to be good at everything, Paul McCartney,
yeah,
doesn't
he? He's good. I do like his. And I like Joni Mitchell's really good as well. And who else? Bob Dylan's quite good, although I'm not a massive fan of Bob Dylan, but he's very accomplished. And so is Ronnie Wood. Again, I don't really love his work, but he's very, very good. And I can understand why people do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So there you go. That's the Beatles.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. The Beatles. Right, Tom. So ends the show for this week. So just to say, if people would head over to Modern Art is Rubbish, you can find the links where you can sign up and become a member to support us, and you'll get all the stuff I talked about at the start, and that would be great. Also, if you want to email us, you can email us on info@modernartisrubbish.com. Also, Tom, because you know you're doing massive amounts of music, so where can people follow your music?
Tom Burton Music on social media.
So it's Tom Burton Music on social media, Instagram, Facebook.
TikTok
and every good music outstore. Outstore? I've just made up
So like on platforms, I'm Wasteland Davelin on Spotify.
Okay. So I'll put a spelling of that in the show notes.
Yeah. Oh, no, hang on. Link is here.
Yeah, Link is there. We've got to get this practice. We'll probably be using it for shorts because shorts are what are trendy, apparently. Okay, so it's just buys then, Tom.
Just buys then, Marcus.
It's the Beatles. Bye. Bye.
Bye.